Our scripture reading for today is from Luke 19, verses 11 through 16. It's a little different. And this is found on page 743 of your pew Bibles. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, he said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back." But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him and said, "We don't want this man to be our king." He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, as we lift open the word this morning, we prepare ourselves to hear exactly what you presented thousands of years ago, but the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and so the message is alive and ready to quicken our spirits. So for the time that we have here together, help us to focus on what you have to say to us through this very challenging parable, for we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. The title of the sermon is exactly what I said to myself when I finished reading the scripture on Monday. As we travel through Luke, Gary did not read the entire passage, which we've done that on purpose because I'll preach through that. But when you do read it and you get through the entire passage, you'll say, oh boy, Jesus certainly has a challenging message for us this morning. So let's just jump right into the scripture. It's something that I believe that all of us are familiar enough with. Matthew has this sort of same idea of the parable of the talents in his book. Luke also has it, and they're sort of similar, almost identical, except for the oh boy part. And so in verse 12, it starts out that a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. So we have a king that is a nobleman that's going away. He's going to be absent, and he's going to receive a kingdom. And then we learn that he calls 10 of his slaves and gives them 10 minas and said to them, "Do business with this until I come back." But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We do not want this man to reign over us." And it came about that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered the slaves to whom he had given the money to be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. So it's pretty straightforward. There's a nobleman who's going away for a time. There's a time when he's not around, and he takes some money and he gives it to some folks and he charges them. He says, "Look, when I'm gone, I expect a return on this money." Now, in the meantime, this is where this is slightly different than Matthew. We find that there are some people that do not like the king, and so they try to thwart what's going to happen when he's away. So he returns in verses 15 through 17, and we hear what happens with the monies that he gives out. It says that when he comes home after receiving the kingdom, so he went away, and we learn that he received the kingdom. It was not thwarted. And then he calls the slaves back to whom he had given the money. And the first appears to him saying, "Master, your minas has made 10 more." And he said to him, "Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in very little thing, you will then have authority over 10 cities." So he gives this man 10, let's say 3 months' wage. That's what it would be today. And he came home and he made 10 times that amount. So he did a lot with that money. And so he says, "Look, you get that much in terms of you, how much you get to rule." And so that's pretty powerful. And I think there's a principle here for all of us in this room in that we have to start with the small things. You and I have to start with the small things. Do really well in the things that you are called to do. And he was given a certain amount of money, and he took that money and he was faithful with it. And then when he came home, he was given even more. It's easy for us to try to skip over things in life and not do the next right thing. But you see, the principle here for us is just do the next right thing. He was given a certain amount of money, and he was told to make that money into more money. And that's exactly what he did. And then he was honored with it. He was given more things after that. But a lot of us in life try to skip over the small things. I say, work hard. Look at your job description at work. Make sure you're doing it really well. A lot of us want to get a raise on the first day or the first year. Well, it doesn't work that way all the time. It starts with just doing what you're called to do and doing it really well. And over time, as that builds, then you're blessed in a way that's greater than when you first started, just like this man here. I remember reading a book. It was on how to write, and the book was called Bird by Bird. And the beginning of the book started out with the story of Bird by Bird. And the author said that when she was little, she was given a book report. And she had to do a report on all kinds and types of birds. And she was sitting there at the table, and she was totally overwhelmed. And she didn't know how to start. And she kept on procrastinating. And so finally, her dad walks over to her, and they have this conversation. And the dad gives her this advice. He said, honey, just start bird by bird. And she said, that's the way I got through that report. I was so overwhelmed because of the hundreds of birds that were out there. But what my dad said is, just start with bird number one. And when you're done with bird number one, go to bird number two. And the title of the book was influenced by that conversation with dad, bird by bird. And that's sort of like what's going on here. So in life, there's this true principle that we have to start with the small things. You and I face struggles in life. We face different issues. But one of the great quotes by John Maxwell is that life, inch by inch, can be a cinch. But life, yard by yard, can be hard. And so you see, when you have something that seems overwhelming, just break it down and start with what's small. And that's exactly what this man did. He started with what he had, and he made it into more. And then he was given more. Friends, that's true in our giving. I know this isn't a giving sermon, but it's the same way in our giving. I remember being in college, you know, there was the hot debate of, well, we don't have any money, we're broke college kids. And someone then challenged us once and said, well, if you don't start now, you're never going to start. And it wasn't about how much, it was just starting. And that principle remained true in all of our lives. And so you just start right where you are at. So the man was giving 10 times more, and you follow the parable all the way through, and you see that the second man came, and he said, Master, mine has made 5 times, and he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. And then another came saying, Master, behold, your mina, which I kept and put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you do not lay down, and reap what you do not sow. So there's a shift here in the story. So the first two men started with what they had. They went out and did something with it. The other man took it and he wrapped it up in a handkerchief. Now he knows that this man, in his own words, is exacting. We would call him downright probably frightening. But what he hears next is pretty strong. It's pretty harsh. He says to him, by your own words, I will judge you. You worthless slave, did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put the money in the bank, and having come home, I would have collected it with interest? And he said to the bystander, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 mina. And he said to him, Master, he has 10 already. And he says, I tell you that everyone who has shall more be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. What can we learn here from the man who put it away in the handkerchief? First of all is this: not all sin is overt. Not all sin is actually doing something. Sometimes sin is doing nothing. And that is exactly what this man did. He did nothing with what the master gave him. And you see, that is a sin in itself. The Bible teaches that there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. And this man has failed in the area of not commission, of doing too much. It's omission, that he did nothing. That's also a way that you and I will be judged. In James chapter 4, verse 17, we read these words: if anyone knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for that person. That is a sin of omission. So friends, it's not just the things that we do we're held accountable for. It's the things we do not do we will be held accountable for. That's why we read verses like in 1 John 3:16, where he says, hey, look, if someone walks by you and they're freezing cold and you've got 20 jackets in your house, how good is it? How good is your faith, the fact that you allow them to freeze? That's a sin of omission, because that person, in fact, did nothing. So he then complains and says, hey, look, how can you take this one away from me and then give it to the one that has 10? Here's why. Because he has shown himself to be faithful. He has shown himself to be faithful. Instead of wrapping it up in a hanky and putting it in his pocket, he knows that this man will at least try to do something with the talents that he was given. Now, how does this apply to us? It applies to us so practically. All of us in this room have talents. I look around this room, everybody has gifts. Some are gifted in certain things, some are gifted in other things. Others come equipped with certain talents. All of us have different attributes that God has gifted us with. And how is this a challenge for us? There are those in this room that are in the game. So picture being at a football stadium, and there's 11 people on the field for one team and 11 on the other. They're in the game. Elders, deacons, they're bloody, they're sweaty. And then there are those who are in the crowd, cheering, pointing out things. And what he's saying is, in church, in the body, it's not good enough to just always be on the sidelines. It's unacceptable. And this is the message that he has for us this morning. You have to find a way to get in the game. What that looks like, I don't know. It could be something brand new to Faith Church. That's okay. But here's what's not okay. It's not okay to take that talent that he's given you, wrap it up, put it in a box, and go and hide it. That's not good enough. In fact, that's sin. Now, we get to the end. And this is when I sat in my office and I read this. And I got to the last verse, and the first words out of my mouth were, oh boy. Oh boy. You see, because do you remember that crew that went out to try to thwart the king when he was away? You remember that? He also has a message for them. And before we get into that message, I'm going to tell you that there are some pastors that would not preach what I'm about to preach. They would not preach it. On top of that, there are some churches that would not want a pastor to preach on these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I am called to be faithful to Jesus. Jesus ends the parable in a very powerful and dramatic fashion. But these enemies of mine, referencing the group that went out to try to thwart him, the king, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. That's a harsh word. That's a harsh word. So I want to end saying this. This may seem complex, but it's really not. You see, there is a sense of urgency. There is a sense of responsibility. And when you boil it down, watch how simple this is. There is a kingdom that exists. And there is a king that exists. Right now, today, everything in this parable is true. There's a king, there's a kingdom, and the king cannot be seen. He's reigning, but it's the absence of the king. This is the time until Jesus returns. In that absence, we are given gifts and talents to use for his kingdom. And when he returns, he has a message for the church. Number one, what did you do with the talents and gifts that I gave you? And he also has a message for the unbelieving world that is actively trying to dethrone the king. And that is, there is an eternity of hell waiting for you. Nobody gets to assault the king without consequence. I don't say that in a prideful manner. It breaks my heart. But that, friends, is the gospel. That is the Christian message that was being preached from the time of the apostles. And it's a hard message for us. But nonetheless, it's true. So friends, we're going to pray. And I pray that our hearts are open and that this message is challenging to us, that it causes us to stir in our hearts and minds the truth of Jesus and to cause us to love Jesus, to cause us to live even more for him in the in-between time. Let's pray. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we lift up our hearts today. Father, what a hard message. But nonetheless, you wanted us to hear it today. We're grateful for your love to us. Help us to be responsible with what you have given us. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we